Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do we know for sure? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's pray for souls. Father, we want everyone to go to heaven. So we're at least going to pray for every boy and girl, man and woman in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. We're also praying for their past, present, and future spouses, and all the children they have now in the future and their family members, all grandchildren they have now in the future and their family members, all great-grandchildren they have now in the future and their family members. By faith, we're sending the Holy Spirit to convict every person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord Jesus Christ, please reveal yourself to each person, your incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation and understanding by your stripes we were healed would come to every boy and girl, man and woman, and they would humble themselves before you, repent of their sins, receive you, Lord Jesus, as Savior and Lord, being gloriously born again from above. And then, Father, we pray you get every person into a good Bible-believing teaching church. They'd then be baptized in water, receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Every Christian will become a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're crying out for every demon-possessed, demonized, and captive to be completely set free, and all the sick to be healed from every sickness and every disease. And Father, your people to receive and walk in financial abundance, prosperity, debt cancellation of their debts, the full blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. And we agree together, and we thank you for it by faith. But also, Father, we want to pray for the Jewish people. We love them very much. We know their greatest need is salvation. Lord Jesus, please remove the blinders and scales from their hearts and minds. Let them see, Lord Jesus, that you are their Messiah, your Savior and Lord, and they'd humble themselves and repent and get gloriously saved. Father, according to your word, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. According to your word, we agree they have title deed to all the land of Canaan. Please restore that land to them, Father. And also, Father, if anyone tries to harm the nation Israel or the Jewish people, you would stop them. And if they pursue or persist, you would destroy them. And we declare that in Jesus' name. Also, Father God, we thank you that you have so intervened in the last election, and your servant Donald Trump and J.D. Vance have been put into the White House. Father, may they rule righteously and justly, not only them, but all their cabinet appointees, past, present, future, and their family members, salvation and blessing upon them. But also, Father, please use the Trump administration and your angelic host to expose and drive out of this country every terrorist, every foreign soldier, every prisoner, every pedophile, every drug trafficker, every sex trafficker, everyone who's come into America to do evil, bring them into the light and drive them out of this country. And Father, don't let them do their wicked, evil deeds. We agree in Jesus' name. Also, Father God, please protect our power grid. Don't let anyone hack or destroy our electricity, gas, oil, or coal. Please protect our water tables, which includes the water in our wells and city water. Please, Father, protect our food, our farms, our farmers, our food production plants. Father, protect our chickens and turkeys, Father, from this made-up virus, Father God. This thing is wicked, Father. Expose it and stop it. Father, don't let anyone hack, destroy, poison any of these resources whatsoever. And if any person tries to do it, or any nation tries to do it, Father God, the day before they would do it, bring your judgments upon them, and Lord, not allow them to do that wickedness. And we declare that with joy and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And we say thank you. All right. Today we're going to read Psalm 91 and discuss it. I pretty much can say every day, and sometimes more than once a day, I declare Psalm 91 and its truths, and I claim it for me and Donna, our children, their family members, and our church family. And I believe it's great comfort and great truths that you may want to start reading every day too and claiming for yourself and your family. We'll read it first and then we'll go through it. Psalm 91. He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. Boy, that's a good promise. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's talk about that. First of all, it talks about dwelling in the secret place. The secret place is where you and God get together and spend time together. You know, some people have a war room. Some people have a prayer closet. Some people have a favorite chair or a place they go and spend time alone with God. Well, I believe that's your secret place. You need to go out in that place every day. You talk to God, and if He has anything to say to you, He talks to you. That's where you get things ready, and that's where you hopefully spend time praising Him for who He is and giving Him thanks for every blessing. You know, I just want to remind you how important God says praise is, and He is worthy of it. You would have to say yes for sure for that. Hebrews 13:15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, but to do good and to share, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So we're to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, and I think especially in the secret place. Of course, you do it in church when you praise and worship Him too. But that should be a lifestyle. And also thanksgiving. Probably my favorite verse for that is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we should be praising God all the time and thankful in everything and for everything, because God is taking care of us, isn't He? So I pray you have a secret place where you and God spend time together, and then also you can pray for other people and pour out your heart to Him and be sure He listens and He answers prayers. But you know that if you're a Christian. And then David goes on to say, I will say of the Lord. You know, see, he's decreeing something. He's saying something out loud. What is he saying about God? He is my refuge. Can you say that? God is your refuge. You run to Him. And my fortress. Is God your fortress? He wants to be. My God. It's personal. David had a personal relationship with God. You and I can have a personal relationship with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by being born again. In Him will I trust. And that's the important thing. In these last days, I don't need to tell you how things have fallen apart. And then things are looking better now, but understand, we're still in the last days, and there's going to be some shakeups. God has spoken. Good things are happening, but there's still going to be some shakeups. So you need to trust in the Lord, right? Decree that. You know, let Psalm 107:2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of his enemies. And you know, another wonderful truth, we haven't read this in a long time. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. And I want to tell you, what you really believe, you will speak. But God wants you to proclaim His word. He wants you to stand on the promises of God. He wants you to decree what He says about situations and circumstances. Amen? Verse 3. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Well, who's the fowler? That's anyone or anything that would do evil harm against you. Of course, that includes Satan and those in his wicked kingdom. And from the noisome pestilence, that includes all sickness, disease, pain. Don't you think that's a good proclamation? Lord, you will deliver me from wicked, evil people in the Satan's kingdom and from sickness, disease, pain, and plagues. Amen? And then when he had confidence, God would deliver him. Do you have confidence God will heal and deliver and protect you? And the fowler and the deadly pestilence we all face at some times or throughout our life. But make your proclamation, God will deliver me from these things. Oh, that's powerful. Notice protection, verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, under his wings shall thou trust. His truth, of course, you know that's the Bible. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You know, Psalmist David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know, there's also a wonderful promise over here in Psalm 119. I don't read it that often, but it's just a wonderful truth from the word of God. He says in verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. How long? Forever. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Well, you and I are part of all generations, right? Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. So God's word lasts forever. That's the truth. Verse 5, very important, very true for today. Thou shalt not be afraid. You know, God never intends for you and I to walk in fear. The only really healthy fear is the fear of the Lord. And I pray regularly, Lord, teach me and my family, and I name a lot of people, teach us the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and many other great things. But we're not to be afraid of the devil and his kingdom, of evil people, of what might happen. Remember 2 Timothy 1:7, God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. Receive that. Again, one of my favorite promises I mention often, Isaiah 41:10. God says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee by my righteous right hand. Oh, that brings such comfort to me. Amen. I realize I don't need to be afraid ever. And notice the certain things we're not to be afraid of, which are real. Terror by night. Bad things happen at night, don't they, sometimes? Nor the air that flieth by day. Violence and terrible things can happen during the day, can't they? Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Doesn't it seem a lot of times sickness tries to attack us at night? Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Bad things happen in the daytime, don't they? But don't be afraid of those things. Trust in the Lord. Have confidence He's going to take care of you and protect you. Now, verse 7 and 8 tells us bad things are going to happen, but it's just not going to take you out. Here's some of the bad things. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, at 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. You know, in these last days, and especially during the tribulation, but if you're a born-again believer, you'll get raptured out first. But in the end times during the tribulation, that 1,000 falling at your side and 10,000 will happen. Now, I'm not saying some very bad things can't happen now. You know, God has said He's going to be doing some shaking, even with Donald Trump in the White House, and good things happening. You know, there was 4 years of hell and evil being established in this country, which has to be repented of and has to stop. Do you know what I'm saying? Remember, marriage is a covenant of one man and one woman in a marriage covenant. Anything outside of that is sin and abomination to God. And God makes little boys, boys, and little girls, girls. And you better never cause a child to doubt that God didn't create them to be the very thing he created them to be. Your future, well, is dim. It's bleak. In fact, that reminds me of a scripture here. I tell you, that's the greatest, worst thing you could do to any person, and especially to a child. Kids have a hard enough time without you making them confused about who God created them to be. Let me read this to you. Matthew 18:6, Jesus talking. For whosoever shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone was hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depths of the sea. So don't you ever, transgender does not exist, only in hell. So do never tell a little boy. Little boys are to be little boys. Little girls are to be little girls. And little boys are to be raised up to be men and marry women. Little girls raised up to be women and marry men. And that's it. And they're to get married. And the only sexual relationship that God okays and blesses is once you get married in a covenant. Everything outside of that is sin. And you need to repent and get that under the blood of Jesus and stop doing it. Is that clear? But again, David is saying bad things are going to happen, but it's not going to take you out because you're walking with the Lord. He's going to guide your steps. He's going to help you. Say, thank you, Jesus. Notice here, because thou hast made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. In other words, you walk with God. You spend time with God. He's your habitation. You run to him about everything, and that pleases the Lord. Notice here's a promise. There shall no evil befall thee. Put your name in the blank. Neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. So you can stand on that promise. You can tell the devil when he tries to attack you with sickness, disease, and pain. No way, devil. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed. And you can put on that whole armor of God and fight the good fight of faith and walk in victory. Because God is our refuge and he can protect us. You know, we talked before just about the bad things that are going to happen. You know, I want to remind you that I believe the rapture is going to be coming very soon, either this year or next year. But I want you to show, if you go into the tribulation lost, let's just lay it out. The next great event on God's calendar is the rapture. That's the taking out of the church. Once the church has been taken out, raptured in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, pretty quickly, the Antichrist appears. He signs a seven-year peace treaty with Israel. That's the first day of the tribulation when he signs that seven-year treaty. God says from heaven, then Jesus has the holy angels begin to release judgments upon the earth. The first is seven seal judgments, then seven trumpet judgments, and then seven bowl or wrath judgments. Okay. Even in the first judgments, we'll look at the fourth seal here in Revelation 6, start with verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given over them, notice this, over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Let's just say approximately there's 8 billion people on planet Earth. When the fourth seal is opened, in the beginning part of the tribulation, 2 billion people are going to die with the famines and plagues and wars that begin to happen. Did you hear that? 2 billion people. Okay, you go on and get through all the seal judgments. Then you get to the, and they always get worse. Then you get to the seven trumpet judgments. Okay, now let's look here in Revelation chapter 9. Look at the sixth judgment. We'll start with verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. Of course, these are demonic angels. And the four angels were loosed who were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay a third part of men. Okay. So that fourth seal judgment, there was 8 billion people, now down to 6 billion. Now in this sixth trumpet, a third die, that's another 2 billion. So by the sixth trumpet, during the tribulation, half of planet Earth, the people in it have died. So if you think you're going to, well, I'm going to go ahead and hopefully make it through the tribulation and not take the mark of the beast and get to go into the millennial reign of Christ with my earthly body. I mean, who are you kidding? You need to get saved now. You want to be taken out in the rapture. It will be hellish during this time. You know, I'm going to give you kind of an update. A person I have great respect for and who's gone on to the Lord is a man called Tom Horn. He was part of Skywatch. Actually, he started Skywatch TV. Everything that the Lord showed him that he talked about always came to pass. Now, the one thing that hadn't happened yet, but the Lord kind of gave him a date, was when the Lord took him, I believe it was in a dream or a vision, and showed him, and he was in basically in California, and he was with a bunch of people just running for their lives from something. And then all of a sudden, the Lord took him up in the air and saw what was happening. Well, I guess a great asteroid from heaven had hit off the coast of California and Mexico and was bringing absolute destruction and chaos to the United States and, of course, Mexico, too. And he saw that. And he realized that God was showing him that was coming. And then at the end of his vision, the Lord whispered in his ear, Apophis. Well, he didn't know really what that meant, but he began to do research. Well, he ended up talking to some people at NASA. And NASA, with their telescopes, can see things far away and kind of has an idea what things are going to come close to Earth or near misses or whatever, and they name the asteroids. Well, they named this one asteroid Apophis. And the guy in NASA that Tom Horn was dealing with said there will be either a near miss or a close encounter April 13th, 2029. Well, Tom Horn believed that God was showing him that that asteroid would hit that time. It would hit. Now, again, Tom then goes to the Word of God and goes in to the trumpet judgments here in Revelation chapter 8. Now, I'm not going to read the judgments. You can, the first, second, and third trumpet judgments. But he became convinced, and I agree with him, that Apophis would hit April 13th, 2029, off the Mexican-California coast, and it would have been one of the trumpet judgments. Well, let me go ahead and read it. And a second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as though it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many died of the waters because they were made bitter. Okay. Now he believed, the Lord showed him, that that was the trumpet judgment. And because of talking to that guy in NASA, who, and again, they have taken it all back. So if you look up NASA, they will, oh, no, that's not going to happen because he wrote a book about it. So all the, and the guy he talked to was threatened and had to back off. But again, God let him find out. So, quote unquote, April 13th, according to that first scientist, would God believe he confirmed to Tom Horn that Apophis is going to happen and hit off the Mexican-California coast, bringing great devastation to the United States. Well, God also showed him that was a trumpet judgment. The trumpet judgments are approximately the middle of the tribulation, give or take a year or so. Okay. So as he was talking to Derek Gilbert went back 3.5 years because the middle of tribulation is 3.5 years into that 7-year period. So if you go back 3.5 years back, you come to October 13th, 2025. And Tom Horn, who has always been right, everything he said has come to pass, believes we will be in the tribulation by October 13th, 2025. You understand this is 2025. Now, the only thing I say in a little bit, a check on that if the POFUS or this trumpet is maybe a year later in the tribulation, that would take you to 2026, probably during the fall feast. And again, that's during the fall feast. And many people believe that Jesus, because of his teachings, was saying that his return would happen during the fall feast, and many believe it'll be on Rosh Hashanah, because they call Rosh Hashanah, you know not the day of hour. That's what Rosh Hashanah is talking about to the Jewish people. So Jesus really did give us an indication when he was coming back, but we're not going to argue that. So, and one other thing he said that we want to keep an eye on, okay. He looked up those Malachi prophecies, that Catholic priest who for 900 years ago named all the popes that were going to come and what little things about them. Well, he said, and from his writings, that this pope we have right now, Pope Francis, which many people think he's the last prophet and many Catholics think he's the false prophet. Tom Horn said, no, there'll be one more according to Malachi's promise predictions, and his name will be Peter the Roman. Well, you know, this pope is very sick. So if he does pass away and the one they hire or put into place is named Peter the Roman, you know, we're close, because he would be the false prophet. And of course, the Lord probably may not let us know exactly who the Antichrist is, but it just shows how close we are to Jesus coming back. And remember, Tom Horn died, and everything that God did show him, he only showed him a few things, but everything he said, and many people laughed and mocked at him, always came to pass. So he was 100%, and I agree, in his death, he's 100%. So remember, Apophis, April 13th, 2029, that asteroid from heaven, one of the trumpet judgments in Revelation 8, probably about the middle or close to the middle or a little after in the middle of the tribulation. So I say all that to tell you, Jesus is coming very, very soon. There's going to be an end time revival. I agree with Perry Stone and Mario Morello, and I believe it's going to be happening pretty quick right now. The church has some open doors because of receiving a good president, and I believe that revival is coming forth. Pray into that and believe for it, but there also is going to be some shakings, because even after the revival, Jesus is going to pluck the church out of here. Now, I just want you to know, are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you living for him? Do you have a relationship with him? If not, pray with me right now. Dear God, I see it. I believe Jesus is coming soon. Lord Jesus, I don't know you. I want to know you. I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, I'm coming to you right now, and I repent of all my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and spirit and be my Savior and Lord of my life. I give myself to you completely, both now and forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Amen. Get into church. Serve the Lord Jesus. He's coming very soon, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garyculp@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth in a relevant and practical way.